And honestly, I'd say it's important to drink bad coffee. If you only indulge in the really good things in life all the time, just like anything, you get used to it. So if you drink excellent coffee, those really vibrant tasting notes and the things that you love about it, you'll still enjoy it, but becomes a little more routine. So when you do drink bad coffee, it's that subtle reminder of like, oh yeah, this is why I pay extra for my beans.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. This episode is brought to you by these sponsors.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch, veteran-owned coffee roasting business in Anvil, PA. Roasted to order every week, we specialize in donations and fundraising and other community involvements. Find out more at CleonaCoffee.com. Coffee started us, community keeps us.
Are you in the mood for some mouth-watering Italian dinners? Homemade bread, cheese steaks, hot subs, cold subs, salads, sides, and of course, delicious pizza? Look no further than Angelo's, located at 1032 South 5th Ave, Lebanon. Call 717-273-8579 to place your order now. In this episode, we have returning friend and sponsor of the podcast, Matt Zekman. Matt is a self-proclaimed coffee nerd, Afghanistan war veteran, and currently serves in the Pennsylvania Army National Guard. If that wasn't enough, he's a first responder and owner of his own business, Cleona Coffee Roasters, located inside of 911 Rapid Response. If you weren't here for episode 42 back in August of 2023, highly recommend you go back and listen to Matt's first episode. Matt is one of those guys who's turned passion into a craft and craft into a business and community. We're going to talk about what's new since his last visit, how the coffee world is evolving, and what it's like balancing service, work with entrepreneurship, and a few other surprises. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's great to see you. It's been almost, 3 years?
Yeah, all but 3 years.
Gosh, it's crazy. It's wild. And I appreciate you partnering with the podcast and myself and helping to spread the word about the American Grown Podcast.
Yeah, of course. I think it's a wonderful podcast, and there's a lot of importance in people knowing more about the community. So it's a win-win for both of us and the community.
Couldn't agree more. That's it, right? It's all about community spreading the word on a local level. You know what I mean? Like, anyone can support the big superstars of the world, right? The Kelce brothers, the Taylor Swift, but it's like the local people got stories to tell.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with that.
Yeah, 100%. So let's kind of dive in for the listeners. Since you were here last, right, August 2023, what's new? What's going on? If you want, even before that, let's give a little bit of background about yourself, right? Because there's been a lot of new listeners. A lot of them might not have listened to episode 42. So kind of get us up to speed in a brief way of who you are and what you're all about.
Yeah, absolutely. So quick background of me is that, so I graduated from Anvil Cleona High School 10 years ago now, crazy to think about, but 2016.
Yeah.
And right when I graduated, I began working full-time as an EMT, so I was on an ambulance. I loved it. I thought I was going to do that for the rest of my life. As you'll find out, that is not what happened. I joined the fire company when I was 14 years old, so I've been doing that ever since, and that kind of shaped the direction of my life. In 2017, I enlisted in the Pennsylvania Army National Guard. Right around that time, I began working with Lifeline EMS. I continued doing both of those, and then 2019 to 2020, I deployed to Afghanistan, and I was there for technically in country for 9 months, but it was a year-long deployment. And then shortly after I got back, I ended up on COVID-19 orders throughout the state, so I was doing that for an additional year. And then after that, I began working again on the ambulance until 2023 happened. At this point, I started Cleona Coffee Roasters 2 years prior in 2021. But the side business that started as an interest and frankly something that I didn't even really want to start began and grew to a point where I inevitably had to commit to either the business or, you know, continue chasing my dreams and work on the ambulance and the other side of my life, probably nursing school. So I decided one day I'm just going to jump in and do my business full time. I got a larger space inside 911 Rapid Response. I got a bigger roaster, made a lot of life decisions, a lot of big ones in a month or so. And then when we had this podcast the first time, that was shortly after that change happened. When the first podcast came out, at that point, I was planning to open a coffee shop, which we did then. We had that for about a year and a half, and fast forwarding till now, the coffee shop still exists. It's called Perky Shepherd Coffee Shop. We sold it to the owners of 911 Rapid Response, and I'll dive into that more, but it's quite a change. We went from, I think 6 or 7 employees, and I was just trying to run the coffee shop, trying to grow the roasting business. Biggest change for me really happened last year, two years ago, 2024, and then also 2025. Selling the coffee shop, really focusing on what we're good at and what I want to see grow and trying to control what I could, and really stuck to it. And, you know, now I can talk about it today and look at it from a much different perspective than before.
Yeah. So you like to stay busy, right? You like to stay busy.
Some days I would argue that I don't like to, but that is inherently what happens. So, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, your love for and your passion, right, for coffee, where would you say that first started?
So that was back, you know, when I started working on the ambulance full time in 2016. It was a lot of coffee from just volume of going to Dunkin' and just getting it when I worked on the ambulance with my work partner. So that's where my exposure to drinking coffee regularly happened. And then I realized I'm spending a lot of money. The quality is really not that great. And I was getting it with, you know, a ton of sugar, a ton of sweetener, and there's no way that was healthy for me. So I realized I had to cut back. So I started to brew it at home. And that was kind of the gateway into everything that's happening now in my life. But I realized that there is good coffee and there is much more out there than, you know, mass produced commercialized coffee, and really got into that, pour overs, and you start to learn about grinding your own beans and the freshness. And that's a whole rabbit hole if you decide to go down it. So I went down that rabbit hole and just found I had a lot of random hobbies that would pop up and I would focus on them for 2 or 3 weeks and then give up when it got difficult. But this was the one that actually stuck. So, it's something that I kind of obsessed over, for quite a few years. And then when I was deployed, we were really busy, and then we weren't, with COVID and the peace treaty in Afghanistan, and then leading to the pullout that we all know of now.
Yeah.
So during that time I really focused on it, and then came home, and that's when I was like, you know what, I'm just going to do as much as I can with this. And yeah, so that's kind of started as an interest and then started as a way to save money. And to this day, I have yet to save money on it. But
right. If anything, it might be sometimes the opposite, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And you did. You definitely dove headfirst into the rabbit hole. And, you know, it's something that you found you're so passionate about. And I love that, you know, you had the coffee shop inside of 911 Rapid Response. Shout out to those guys. A phenomenal location there. But then you realized, you know, my passion is really brewing and creating, I would say, the science to coffee. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're like, okay, let's just laser focus on that.
Yeah. And that was a big lesson I learned in the last, you know, 2 years, really this past year, really big turning point in my life. And, you know, like you mentioned, I like to stay busy, and I agree with that. I'm a very busy person, but, you know, chaotic energy isn't going to get me further if I can't divert it in one direction. You know, if I'm spreading myself so thin and I'm going in every direction, I'm really not moving forward in life, even though it feels like I'm busy all the time. So I realized I'm spreading myself too thin. And even after learning to delegate and try to pass off responsibility inherently, it was just too much. And at such an early stage in the business, you know, without a lot of capital saved up and everything that, you know, I hope to have in 5, 10, 20 years from now.
Right, right.
It was a lot to bite off. And yeah, so it was a turning point where once I realized that was the right move and I committed to it, You know, it's a difficult decision at first, but I've learned the hardest pills to swallow are typically the ones that give you the biggest benefit. So I got over that point, and we are, you know, everything is going to plan now, and it's so much better.
Let's take a quick sip break. This sip break is brought to you by Garage Beer. From the garage to the cooler, whether you're on the golf course, just got done cutting your lawn on a hot summer day, or spending some quality time on the grill, grab yourself a Garage Beer. It's just beer-flavored beer. You sold the coffee shop. Let's talk about that. I want to learn, you know, obviously we know why you sold it off. You wanted to focus on your passion, right, and what you're good at. But, like, who's the owners? You know, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Mark and Christy Soliday, they're the owners of 911 Rapid Response. And back in 2023, something I talked about in the podcast then was knowing Mark from being a first responder, he had that space available for me to move in and do roasting. So I moved in originally to the building to roast, and that's where we're still located. And the coffee shop was kind of an idea of Mark's, but I was like, oh, yeah, let's do it. Yeah, this sounds crazy. At that point, I knew that I was pretty busy, but, you know, he wanted it, and it seemed like a good idea, and not saying it wasn't a good idea. So we just committed to it and you know, put it together. But like I mentioned, we reached a point when I became so busy and felt like it was the right move. And frankly, Mark having a business with many subdivisions and I think 80 employees or so now, They were in a much better spot. They were able to provide for the coffee shop in ways that I could only dream of. But, you know, when you're small business, you just started out. So it honestly worked out. He was at the point where he was like, you know, I'd like to buy it. I'd like to kind of make it our own and turn it into their mission. Mark and Christy they have Search Team 66, which is a search and rescue team in Lebanon County. But they have canines, a few different German Shepherds. So that's hence the name Perky Shepherd Coffee Shop. So it's kind of dog themed, but specifically towards their dogs. And it's kind of designed to complement the mission of them and their interest with, you know, serving the community and giving back in that niche of search and rescue and the canine aspect of it.
So I didn't know that. I learned something new there. I didn't know that was even a thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very, we see canines, you know, police canines all the time.
Yeah.
And, back when Mark, he was actually a police officer before. So his original dog, Crypto, I think was also one of the police canines, but then when they started the search team, got involved with that. Their one dog, Raven, is actually a cadaver dog,
dead bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's been cases locally where they've been able to help find and retrieve bodies. And so once again, it is a niche. It's not something people really know exist, but so they're involved in that. And it was definitely for the best to let them take that on and, you know, kind of run with their mission with it and kind of frees up both of us. They still use my coffee, so it really was a win-win.
Yeah, so they're still, I mean, you're still creating the coffee blends.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. And it's Allison, my barista manager, when she is now an employee of them. So at the time when we sold it to them, it was really the same staff, the same coffee, the same drink recipes. And of course, things have evolved over time, but it's still my bags of coffee on the shelf. It's still my beans in the hopper.
Nice.
They're still getting a large amount of my customers, and they're still, you know, they're getting their own new customers as well. So it's a double win for both of us.
Which is phenomenal. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what you want, right? You want both parties to win, right? It's a win-win. Everyone can move forward and continue to do what they're passionate about. And it's a phenomenal spot for listeners that haven't been inside of 911 Rapid Response. Highly recommend it. There's so much, it offers so much, right? Whether you're into hunting, firearms, you know, just looking for some tactical apparel. You want to go in and have a hot chocolate. I took Parker in there, my 3-year-old daughter, you know, and we just hung out for a little bit. There's some sofas there, some high top tables, if I remember. It's just a neat kind of spot. And you might not think like, oh, it's a coffee shop, but it's very good, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's honestly one of the biggest review points where we get, it's all 5-star reviews, and that's where people see coffee shop and a gun store, and there's like, well, this is just for convenience. And then they try the coffee, and they're like, oh, wow, And you know, I have like 95 five-star reviews. The lowest review I have is a four-star review, and that's because someone didn't like that it was in a gun store. But hey, he still gave us four stars. You know, he could, yeah. You know, some people drop one stars, you know, very quickly. So I'm, you know, I'm glad that that's all it was. And that's good though. If that's the complaints people have of it's located in a gun store, I'll take it.
Yeah. You're doing something right. I mean, if four stars is the lowest rating you got, and it wasn't anything to do with the coffee.
Right.
Yeah. So, and you know, in life, you're not going to make everybody happy, but hey, they're supporting a great local company. Yes. It's in a gun store, folks, but there ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, try it. Go to the range. You know what I mean? Get your buddy that's into guns, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I did. Shout out to my buddy Dylan, you know, and he's a big hunter. You know, his family grew up hunting, and he took me to 911 Rapid Response. It's the first place we went. Sent some down range, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Changes you, you know?
It does.
Yeah. You learn to respect. Talk about firearms real quick. It's a respect thing, and, you know, the firearm is a tool. It's not going to do anything unless you, the operator, you know, the person behind it, tells it what to do, pulls the trigger, you know. So it's not something to be afraid of, but you should respect it. And I think people should get educated on it if they are afraid of firearms.
Absolutely. The education is so important, and that's knowing how to operate. Even if you don't plan on owning one, just knowing the basics about it is very important.
Yeah, 100%. Now, last time you came here, because you call yourself a coffee nerd, right, mm-hmm. on Instagram, you had brought a bunch of different items, right? And I can't remember the one. It was something to
check. It was the trier, it's called, to like check samples of the coffee in the roaster as you're roasting it.
Yeah, so like what qualifies a coffee nerd?
And I think that's, man, there's so many. Coffee nerd's kind of specific. I hear the word coffee snob, that phrase, pretty loosely. Coffee snobs could be someone that just loves coffee in general. They just want the volume. They're the don't talk to me until I had my coffee type of people.
Okay.
Right? A coffee snob could be someone like me where you're into the finer details. It's just like, you know, as we're sipping on craft beer, it's just like beer, or whether it's like wine or cheese and all of the different chocolate is a specialty industries.
Yeah.
The people that appreciate it and they really try to control the controllables. So instead of just getting a bag of ground coffee off the shelf, you're going to get the beans and you're going to have the grinder, and maybe you're going to nerd out over if it's a flat burr grinder or a conical burr grinder. And then you're going to set your water temp, and it comes down to the mineral content of the water that you're using.
Yeah.
And there's just so many variables that go into it. So for me as a coffee nerd, it's someone that likes to indulge in that. Now, I'll be completely honest. I was much more of a coffee nerd than I am now. You reach a point, this is with anyone when they start a business, when you do what you love and turn it into a business, it can kind of take the fun away from it. So at one point in my life, I was that guy that had a little coffee backpack. So if I went to a hotel, like when I was on COVID orders in 2020, 2021, the guy that sets up a water kettle and you got your hand grinder and you're bringing your beans and you're like, it takes you like 20 minutes to make a cup of coffee and you're into it.
Yeah.
And you like, you judge anyone that drinks the coffee from the hotel lobby. And then you reach a point when you're just like, I don't even care anymore. You're like, this is so much work. I will have good coffee when I go home, but for now, I'll just tolerate it.
Yeah.
That's partly what got me into drinking energy drinks, because if I need caffeine, I'm just not even going to mess with coffee. I'll just crack open a Red Bull or a Ghost or something.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, I am a coffee snob. I still consider myself that, or a coffee nerd, I should say. I can absolutely get into the fine details. But me personally, of course, I enjoy good coffee at work, but
yeah,
I'm also not the type that will like be completely disgusted if I go over to my family's house. Well, my family doesn't drink Folgers, but if I went to someone's house.
Say, if they did, whoa, that would be mind-blowing.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I went over to someone's house and they're making coffee, I'm not going to be that guy that's like, no, thank you. Don't give me any.
Right. Where you say like, you know, a coffee snob or bourbon snob, they want like the top shelf and it's got to be this way. So I think coffee nerd is perfect, because like you said, you can take those deep dives in the rabbit hole and talk about it, but yet you're still open to, okay, like, yeah, I'll drink this, but I know, you know, good coffee.
Right. And yeah. I honestly, you know, I'd say it's important to drink bad coffee. If you only indulge in the really good things in life all the time, just like anything, you get used to it. So if you drink excellent coffee, those really vibrant tasting notes and the things that you love about it, you'll still enjoy it, but becomes a little more routine. So when you do drink bad coffee, it's that subtle reminder of like, oh yeah, this is why I pay extra for my beans.
Yeah.
This is why, you know, when it's hollow and it's bitter on the back end of it. And you're like, yeah, okay. Yeah. So it's a good experience. And, you know, same thing with, like I said, with every specialty industry, it's the same thing. You can get a Hershey's bar, or you can, there's a chocolate company in Vermont that I order stuff from. It's called Prophecy Chocolate.
Okay.
The owner's name is Mateo. I met him at the PA Chocolate and Coffee Festival. Insanely good stuff. But you can eat a Hershey's bar, or, you know, you can get a $7 chocolate bar from Vermont, which is very authentic ingredients, and you can really taste the passion that goes into it. So
I like that. Yeah. That's a good example. To me, I think of like Shuey's Pretzels, right? Mm-hmm. Shout out to Shuey's Pretzels. Hopefully y'all make a comeback. I'm excited. I know we've been big supporters here at Color Tech. Every other Tuesday, we'd buy between 40 and 50 bags of those pretzels, take them out to clients, and we've been doing that since the 80s. My grandpa started doing that, but you can taste the difference if people have had the hard Shuey's Pretzels. The soft ones, I mean, they're very good too, but the traditional Shuey's Pretzels, it's like totally different than any other. It's not even like a sourdough. I mean, people might call it a sourdough, but it's so much different than any other pretzel. And people are probably like, there's no way, Austin, like a pretzel's a pretzel. Come on, Sully, what are you talking about? But when you try a Shuey's pretzel, it's different. Something about it, and I think, like you're saying,
it's in its own class. You can't even compare it to anything.
Exactly. You can't compare it to anything. And it's probably like your chocolate company up in Vermont, you know, made by hand, and it, for the pretzels, made by hand in a brick oven. You know, same people been using the same wood boards to get the pretzels out. It's like that, I don't want to say it, like almost like a craft. Instead of technology and you know, machinery, it's like people doing what they love, you know, what they're passionate about.
Yeah, and as the world evolves, it's, you know, and most people will cut corners and do what they can to automate and, you know, inherently kind of drop quality for the name of profit. You have those people that the reason they started is the reason they're still doing it 100 years later.
There you go, 100%. Yeah, so shout out to Shuey's. Hopefully you guys reopen. I know we're chomping at the bit to start ordering pretzels again, and so are our clients. They greatly miss your pretzels. But now take us through, because I like what you just said, you know, 100 years later, it's, we're talking about craft, you know, the process. What is your process at Kona Coffee Roasters, without dropping any secrets, you know, or anything like that? But like, take us through your step-by-step process. How do you create such amazing coffee? Where do you go? What do you do? Walk us through.
So it all begins with where the phrase coffee nerd comes into play.
Okay.
We don't do flavored coffee, but coffee has flavor. And, you know, some are floral and fruity, and some are earthy and spicy. Some are caramelly and nutty and chocolatey. This all is dependent on the varietal, so the genetic makeup, the altitude it's grown at, the country it comes from. There's so many factors that go into what makes coffee taste the way it does. And that's just the bean sourcing. That's not including like how you're actually going to roast it, and then maybe the ideal brewing method. So taking all of those factors into consideration, it's figuring out what I want a coffee to taste like, or what I want the finished product to taste like, and then sourcing the beans based on that, figuring out which beans are going to do better with a certain roast level, and then how we're going to roast it. And from there, there's a lot of data that goes into my computer. And we're going to look at temperature curves, a lot of temperature curves, and we're going to track the time. We're going to track different landmarks during the roasting process. So the one's the turning point, and that's when, shortly after you drop the beans in the roaster, the point where the drum and the beans, because the drum is, let's say, 450 degrees and the beans are room temp, when they equalize in temperature and the beans start to, you know, pick up consistently. But either way, it's tracking those metrics, as well as the weight of the roasted coffee when it comes out of the roaster, so you can track the moisture loss. There's so much that goes into it.
So much. Wow.
So, you know, honestly, when I started the business, it was just figuring it out. It was,
how do you figure it out?
A little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know, 50% Colombia, maybe it's 30% Guatemala, 20% Brazil. Okay. You do your education and you figure out, okay, this in theory should make sense, but when you're new to it, you're just like, I just got to try it out. So then you learn to blend, and then you do a bunch of sample batches and figure out what you want it to taste like. And when you find a profile that hits, and like the end temperature and the bean color and everything, that's really what you're striving to do. So that's kind of the first part of being a good roaster. And the second part is the consistency. So now it's, I found what I want. Mm-hmm. Now I got to do this again thousands of times because my customer doesn't want a different product. So that's really, you know, in a really dumbed down version, kind of how you make the perfect coffee. Now, one thing I, you know, I'll admit when I started the business, not having any formal business education, I think a lot of times it's easy for small businesses to get caught in this loop of, oh, well, I need to increase sales, so I'm going to add more product. I'm going to add another blend. I'm going to offer more things. Mm-hmm. When in reality, that's not what you need to do. You get one person that's like, I want this blend. So then you spend hundreds of dollars in inventory so you can offer this one thing.
I see, yes.
When in reality, what I should do, what I should have done, and what we're kind of going backwards and getting back to, is be really good. Not that what we had wasn't good, but be really good at a few things and run with that.
Okay.
The reason people aren't buying isn't because you don't have what they want. It's because they don't know you exist. So actually this year was part of my quarter one goals to cut at least two products. So we cut three so far.
Whoa.
There might be a fourth one. I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
We had, you know, several light roasts, several medium roasts, several darks, several French, and it's too much.
Yeah.
Reality, the people that would buy one of the lower performing products will happily buy something else. They just have to taste it. So that's something that we did. And that allows us to maintain our green inventory. So our green coffee, that we, what comes in those big burlap bags, the green coffee.
Okay. Green coffee. Okay.
So that product, it allows us to have fewer origins and lets us stock up on that, have more inventory of what we're using, maintain quality. And frankly, because of the cuts, it allowed me to take coffee and go under contract for coffee that is more expensive. But because we're simplifying things, I can eat that cost and I don't have to pass it on to the consumers.
Very nice. Yeah.
So honestly, up, you know, it's a, especially with tariffs, that's a whole other thing. Tariffs, and then it started with the port strikes, and then Brazil with the drought. So much happened in 2025 that affected the coffee industry. So now it's just taking those variables and learning from it as time goes on and saying, hey, I don't know what 2026 is going to look like, but I'm not taking chances.
Right.
I'm going to go under contract now. I'm going to secure 9 months worth of product and doing all of that stuff. So those were big moves we did this year.
So you're not taking chances at all. Nine months worth of product.
No, it was about $50,000 worth of just Guatemala that I signed for.
Wow.
But it's the stuff that as we grow, I'm realizing we have to have a good product. We have to make our, you know, we have to be fast, efficient, precise. And if we can do that, it doesn't matter how many options we have because we know this is what people are going to want. We just have to get it in their hands and they'll buy it and they're going to get the same thing every time at a fast speed with great customer service.
And you're investing in your bread and butter, it sounds like, the things that perform the best, that the customers love. You know, you're cutting out your ones that are so similar and investing in, you know, what I'd say like the staples, right, of Kelowna Coffee Roasters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. There are some more recent within the last year or two blends that'll be staying, but it's a lot of the coffees are flagship coffees. The one we had from, you know, the first year, those are the ones that people still buy the most of. And those are the ones that kind of covered all the bases. And it's like, okay, well, we didn't have to get far away from it, but we did. No big deal. So now we're just going in reverse in some way, but it's pushing us so much further forward.
Forward, yeah.
So what may look like a step back to some people is actually a huge step forward.
Forward. No, and it's like you said, you don't know what the future holds, so why not double down on what you know is proven, has a track record, and you know people buy it. It's what they like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where the coffee nerd part comes in. If we can have less things, I know that it's a lot easier to maintain quality on, let's say, you know, eight products, or even some people will argue that's too much, but it's a lot easier to maintain quality on eight products than it is 15. So,
right. And how many, like, so, okay, let's talk about, you mentioned like some of your top, what are your top, let's say two or three, or maybe have more, but what's like your top?
So we try to, I'm trying to have, like when we do fundraisers, or if I get new wholesale customers coming in, I have my recommendations, and it's our Glass City, which is a light roast breakfast blend. There's that one, the Guatemala Huehue Tenango. This is the one that I signed a contract for. This is the one I actually have sitting on the table here. That's our biggest seller. This is one you can use for drip, espresso, cold brew, every brew method, and it just performs phenomenally. It's the coffee that was one of the first few that when we started that we had, and it's just been a staple ever since. You know, volume-wise, we're going through so much of it, and it just makes sense to keep pushing that even harder. Our Columbia Dark Roast, and then from there, we have a decaf, which is kind of the normal offering for fundraisers just because not everybody wants regular. But decaf is still one of the, it's one of those things, we don't sell as much of it, but you got to have it.
Got to have it, yeah.
So then we have a Crema's Espresso, which is a French roast espresso blend. So those are probably the main four or five.
Okay.
But we do have some others in those different categories, but,
you know. So how did you, Guatemala?
Mm-hmm.
How did you create that? I mean, that's like your, I'd say your baby, right? Like that's your main one.
That is. And that was another one of those, like, I'm just going to roast it quite a few different ways. And we're going to see, you know, it's basically throwing something at the wall and seeing what sticks. I see a lot of roasting companies roast Guatemala as a light roast, which wonderful coffee. Like it is still wonderful then. I just found the best luck with it at the temperature that I take it to in the medium roast range. And because of it, it's just like, it's very caramelly and nutty and sweet. It's like a bakery coffee.
Oh, nice.
But it does really well on its own. It does really well if you steam milk and make a latte with it. It's almost like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. You get some sweetness from the milk. You get a little bit of sweetness from the coffee, the caramelly, the nutty, the cinnamon. And that's all on its own without adding anything. But then if you add some flavors, some different syrups and whatnot, you know, it also pairs well with that. So
just really, like you said, it's... The coffee nerd comes out, and it's really kind of trial by fire. You just figure it out as you go.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's pretty amazing. And this was just something, you know, side project, passionate about while you're serving the military, while you were, you know, here at home. And now it's – did you ever think that this would be, like, your full-time job?
No, not at all. I was going to go to nursing school, and I was going to eventually become a nurse practitioner. I guess that's always on the table still. I guess I could always do that. But no, I was just going to do that. And this was just strictly on the side. Just, well, it wasn't even going to be a business. That was just roasting it, enjoying it. And I was driving to Alabama to buy a roaster off a marketplace. And then it's like, okay, it was $5,000. So it's like, all right, well, this is kind of a big step for home roasting. But either way, I was roasting and giving it to people. Okay. That turned into orders, which then turned into... All right, I guess I'll make this a business. I'll get a food license. I'll do it the right way so I don't have, you know, the government coming after me.
Yeah, yeah.
So
nobody wants that.
And it was just strictly going to be kind of for fun, and that it was for fun, but it just kind of started growing, and there wasn't anything I could do, and I wasn't going to stop it.
No, right.
So then I reached that breaking point of all of my free time was going into this business, and it's like, all right, well, it's growing whether I want it to or not, so you just got to run with it. So that's what got me to this point.
Okay. I don't want to skip over because you mentioned driving to Alabama for a face. Do you say Facebook Marketplace?
Yeah, that was a risk.
Yeah, tell us that story because that's a risk.
It was,
but it sounds like it paid off. Obviously.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It was a roaster, a 3.5 pound drum roaster. Someone was selling it used on Marketplace. He was in Alabama. I was using a 1/2 pound hot air roaster, and I wanted to upgrade to something. And you could buy them new, but the price was, you know, more than just $5,000. And at the time, I didn't have a truck or anything, just a Jeep Cherokee. So me and my friend took a trip down there, and it was confirming things on Facebook. And it's like, all right, 12 and a half hours one way. Let's just send it.
Yeah.
And we sent it, and the guy was real.
He was there. He was real.
The roaster was there.
You hear those horror stories about, you know, Facebook Marketplace, and they're not there. It's not real. It's, you know, not what they told you it was.
Yeah. So it all worked out. And, you know, it was in... someone that had a much larger roaster. It was probably like a 20 or 30 kilogram roaster. He started a small business, actually had this in a trailer and was doing mobile roasting. And then had the opportunity to buy out this other roastery and just took this jump and no longer needed it. So seeing that larger roasting facility while I was down there was actually motivational to see what it could be. And now I'm actually doing that. So, that was fun.
Do you still keep in touch with that person that you bought the roaster from? Or
no, I don't think I've talked to him for maybe 2 years, but as I mentioned, he had his roaster in a trailer, and I found that very intriguing. So back in 2020, 2024, I had the opportunity to buy a trailer.
Yeah.
From Displaced Texan Salsa Company, because they were moving back to Texas. So the opportunity arose to buy a trailer, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to buy it. But I didn't want to do, like, the brewing aspect. Like, I wholesale for Cool Beans Brew and a bunch of other coffee trailers.
Really? That's a very popular trailer.
They're very popular. I was just going over 2025 stats with Dennis, and I was like, dang, there's a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
But either way, I wholesale for people that do a wonderful job. I don't want to compete with them. That's a lot of work. And at the time, still having a coffee shop and the roast, it was just, no. So what I did was I took his idea and I made Pennsylvania's first mobile roasting trailer. So I got it licensed. It is licensed to do drinks. So I can do drinks with it, because it's like, if you go to an event, people are going to want a cup of coffee. Yeah. But I have a roaster in there. That's the original one, the OG. It's back in a trailer.
That's awesome. Okay.
So I can take it anywhere in Pennsylvania, set up, roast coffee right there. Plugs into my computer. I still have all the digital stats that I would in my main roaster, but just on the go.
Just on the go. Wow. So tell us some of your stories about on the go. So you set up at like local markets. How does that work? Yeah.
So the main place you'll find us is the Palmyra Producers Only Farmers Market, and that's from May to October. This was something in 2024. I had this bright vision of what I was going to do, and this was another form of me spreading myself too thin. So in hindsight, wonderful idea. But I didn't have the time to do it. So I was going to take it to all these events. And I kind of went all over. But you go to some events, it doesn't really pay out well. And you start to question, is this really worth my time? I see why people do brewing trailers, because that's how you make money. So the roasting trailer is really cool. I love it for supporting our wholesale customers. And that's kind of what it evolved to. I like having weekends off. I like not being stressed and all over the state. So now it's evolved into, we use it at the Palmyra Producers Only Farmers Market. We will do some events if requested. I try to keep it pretty limited. Now having a baby and everything, I try to keep my weekends free.
Yeah. Thank you. That changes your whole world.
It does change my whole world. So I value my time. I value my weekends. So if it's like a veteran, a military-themed event, I prioritize those. Any veterans charity events, I prioritize those. Otherwise, I pretty much just do our regular Saturdays at the Palmyra Market. We may have our trailer at the Pennsylvania Chocolate and Coffee Festival set up by the entrance this year. So that might be one of the exceptions to the rule, just because it's a giant coffee festival.
That's awesome. That's exciting. Have you been there before?
Yeah, we've gone the last 2 years, 3 years, 2 years. Yeah, 2 years we've gone. So it started 2 years ago. So we've been there both years now.
Nice. Oh, wow. Yeah. So I imagine when you're there, there's probably a lot of collaboration, a lot of learning, a lot of seeing what other people are doing, a lot of coffee talk. What's some of the like collaborations or takeaways from an event like that?
I mean, you definitely meet a lot of different roasting companies. You meet some different brewing only companies. You hope to do a little bit of marketing, but everyone's just there to sell their product. So a lot of chocolate vendors. And this is where you get both sides. You get more of the commodity side and you get more of the specialty side of chocolate, of coffee. So you're gonna get specialty roasters that are selling coffee way more expensive than mine, but they're getting it from all sorts of different origins and they're getting really expensive coffee, which is their customer audience, and it works perfectly for them. One notable stand was Dueling Rabbits Coffee Roasters. He's in Wilmington, Delaware, I think. He had coffee from all these different origins that I knew had coffee, but like you'd never see it on anyone's store shelf.
Really?
Like you'd never think of people actually roasting it. And that was exactly why he did it. He was like, people get the normal origins. He's like, I didn't want to be that guy. So I bought quite a bit of coffee from him and it was phenomenal.
So what was like, some of the locations are,
man, I think I got a coffee from Ghana. I had a Robusta from, I don't even remember the origins. Myanmar, that was one of them. Myanmar.
Myanmar.
That is, I don't want to make a fool of myself. It's somewhere on a map.
Yeah, I have to Google it.
Island type of country.
Okay.
Island type of country.
So just really exotic.
Tiny countries.
Stuff you never see.
Yeah.
Never see.
Even coffee from China, which I didn't really know that they grew it there, but. So some really cool, where as a coffee nerd, I see other people's coffee businesses and I'm like, wow. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, and other people doing it well is what I need to get the enjoyment out of it. Like, I don't feel the need to just be like, oh, I got to do that. Nope. He's doing what he's good at, and I appreciate all of it. So
yeah, you just enjoy seeing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's take a quick snack break. This snack break is brought to you by Jergy Beef Jerky. When late night editing episodes for the podcast, Jergy Beef Jerky keeps me fueled and ready to go with 11 grams of protein, high quality ingredients, and no nitrates or nitrites. With 5 different flavors to choose from, Jergy Beef Jerky. Eat, meat, repeat. Yeah, so to pick back up, obviously, things are growing, things are going well. I've seen over the years, you've done some pretty awesome collabs on a local level. One notably was Sergeant Knucklehead.
Oh, yeah.
He was he was a guest on the podcast. So how do you go about collabing and, you know, how do you do you go to them, they come to you, is it through, you know, the love of coffee? Describe that process. Yeah,
kind of goes both ways. I mean, and some of my best work have been impulse decisions. As much as I like to say I'm thought out and I plan everything, I still have some really good ideas I just act on them immediately and it works out. So really, you know, you think about it and it's like, I could message them and the worst they'll do is either one, not see my message, or they'll just say no. So like Sergeant Knucklehead, that was, we got set up, we reached out to him and it worked out. He happens to be local. So, you know, it's a win. And we did it for the blend we had was for charity purposes. So like he wasn't profiting and it, you know, it's good exposure for him. It's good exposure for us, but ultimately it's to come together for a mission to support, in this case, Military Pet Share. So we have a smoked coffee with seltzers, Smokehouse Meats. So we actually take our coffee beans, we roast them. It's our Columbia dark roast. We put them in their smokehouse with the bologna. It smokes for 12 hours, and then we get the beans back, and then we either grind it or for packaging beans, we repackage it.
Okay.
We get it back to them. And that, oh my gosh, you would not think it would sell that well. And it was a bit slow to start, but man, this last holiday season.
Really?
I wish I did some stats on that to give you, but a lot of coffee, like hundreds of pounds.
So how do you even conceptualize? How does that even come about? You know, we have a smokehouse where we're smoking bologna. We want to put your, like, yeah, how do you come up with that collab?
Well, in this case, they do a smoked beer with Snitz Creek. So that idea was already thought of, where they take the grain and they smoke it in the smokehouse and then they turn it into a beer. So we're like, well, let's just do that with coffee beans. So we did a small test run and I had I had expectations. The expectations were that this was going to go terrible. I personally do not like that beer at all. So I was in my mind thinking, this isn't going to work out. It just wasn't for me. I like beer, but you know, just some people love it, I'm sure. So I had no intents of this actually taking off, and then I brewed it. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, it tastes like our dark roast, which is really good on its own. And you can definitely taste the smoke in there. But it's not just like any smoke. Like, seltzers and their bologna and their meat has a very distinct type of smoke. And I think it comes down to, like, the smokehouses that they're in and the wood that they use and everything. So it doesn't taste like bologna, but it has that very distinct seltzer smoke to it, but it's not overbearing, but it's not like that subtle where you barely notice it. It's like just such a good balance.
Wow. What a combination.
Yeah.
Like that's just mind blowing. Like to even think of that, you know what I mean? That's just wild to me. And you said it sold really well over the holidays. Why do you think that is?
It's such a unique gift. And of course you can ship bologna and you got to keep it cold and there's more logistics. So this is kind of a way of like, here's a Pennsylvania Dutch, like a hometown type of treat that you can send to anybody and you don't have to worry about cold storage or anything. So I think that what's kind of a novelty, you won't find any other Pennsylvania Dutch smoked coffee anywhere.
I would say no. Yeah. That's very unique.
So I actually plan on making, I own the domain. I just got to turn it into a website, bolognabeans.com.
Bolognabeans.com.
I own like 25 website domains. That's like if I waste money on something now, it's buying website domains because it's fun.
Because it's fun. So what's the plan for
bolognabeans.com?
Yeah.
Just kind of a combined website, like a quick landing page that like kind of helps, you can use for SEO purposes. So if anybody searches anything close, just pulls them into it right away. Something cool to advertise, really.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wild. So what, when it comes down to it, you know, there's a lot of big chain coffee makers, coffee companies. What separates, you know, what gives the advantage to a local coffee roastery like yourself?
So freshness is really the case. As you see companies, they kind of start at this level, and as they grow, they just, you got to cut corners. And as you're producing so much product that, you know, Pete's, I think, is probably the most freshness-oriented larger coffee company, but the logistics are just difficult, right? Mm. So as a local roaster, we're roasting every week, and all those orders, I got orders in my truck that are getting dropped off when I go home. You know, they're getting people's doorsteps the day or two after they're roasted. Giant corporations can't do that. There's no way. You know, they have to go to distribution centers, and they have to be fulfilled, and they, you know, it could be months after the time it's roasted and produced the point that you're getting it, and that's just how the global supply chain works. Of course, like bananas and different things are going to be either frozen, and they try to get that closer, but for coffee, it truly doesn't go bad per se.
Right.
So that importance isn't really placed on keeping it fresh. So that's where local roasters come into the equation. The cost is going to be higher. We're small businesses. We have all of the expenses that everyone else does. We're typically buying higher quality beans. You know, you got all the expenses of owning a business. So the cost will typically be higher, but in return, people get a better product.
Fresher product, better quality product. Yeah. Now, I saw on your website, I think, if somebody orders Monday, that order will be delivered by end of the week?
Yep. So as long as Monday at 9 a.m. is our cutoff. So as long as the order comes in before then, and if I'm running behind, it's really whenever I finalize the numbers. So it'll be no earlier than Monday at 9 a.m. But as long as they order by that time, it'll be roasted, packaged, and sent out the door that week. So if it's getting shipped, they're not going to receive it by Friday most likely, but everything goes out that week. Unless it's like a really, really big order, like a wholesale order that we are coordinating a longer date for to fulfill. But yeah, so it's inconvenient to some people. I'll be honest, that's our weakness of the turnaround time. If you order on a Tuesday,
I see what you're
saying. You're going to have to wait till the following Monday for it to start going into production. So that is the downfall. Some people can wait a week and a half before it goes out the door.
Yeah.
So when we get new customers, that's kind of the obstacle. We do have it on the top of our website, but I like to think when people get their coffee and they brew it and they're like, oh, okay, this was worth the wait.
It makes sense.
They understand.
Yep. No, for sure. And did I hear correctly, you're still, like, you're doing local deliveries. You have some in the truck right now to take around. Yeah,
we do free local delivery to the Anvil Cleona School District area and then Fort Indiantown Gap as well.
Nice.
So we do that, and that was all back when I started the business out of my house. Because of local zoning reasons, people couldn't pick it up at my house. And I was like, well, I feel like they shouldn't have to pay for shipping. So I was like, people should have a way to get the coffee for free. And at the time, I didn't really sell anywhere. Now we're in over, I don't know, 60 or 70 stores or something.
Whoa, congrats. But, holy cow.
Thank you.
I didn't know it was that many.
I don't even know how many it's at now. Dang. You lose count after a while. But so now people can get it a lot of places, but I didn't like that people couldn't get it for just the base price. So I was like, I'm just going to do free delivery. And, you know, something that we just never got rid of, and I don't think I ever will.
That's awesome. And you're still sticking to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So over the years, you know, and now looking back at where Cleona Coffee Roaster started, what are you most proud of?
Well, there's quite a bit that I'm proud of. I'll say personally, there's a lot of personal growth that I did, and I kind of mentioned that, but really I started this as that what felt like a teenager who didn't know what didn't know what I was doing. I got into a business, I did something I loved, and I just did whatever felt right. And it was very emotionally driven. It's a lot of chaotic, putting out fires all the time. Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned, you're moving in so many directions and nothing was really focused enough to push forward. Like, I was growing, but it wasn't really because of me, if that made sense. There's a lot of inbound, but it wasn't, you know, that well sorted out. So a lot of personal growth, just prioritizing things in my life. When I found out I was going to be a dad, that really makes you look at life a lot different. And it's like, okay, I can't be working 80 hours a week. I can't be stressed about finances. I can't be having all of these issues and be a dad. Like, this just isn't going to work. So last year I had to reach that point of, I'm either going to hang this up or I'm going to commit to it. I'm going to figure this out and I'm going to fix it real quick. So that's what I did, and I fixed it. So I can sit here today and be very proud of the amount of work that I put in over the last 6 months. Time management. There's a guy on YouTube, Dan Martell. He also has a book called Buy Back Your Time.
Okay.
I read a few business books, but this one was the most inspirational, of just like a playbook of valuing time. A lot of people give up their money for time. A lot of people give up their time for money, okay, but you should be giving up your money for time, because you can always make more money, but you can't get more time back. And when I started to realize that, I realized, okay, what's worth not even doing? What can I delete from my life and from my schedule? What are products or events that I'm going to? What are products I'm offering? What are services that just bog us down that aren't worth it? What can I get rid of? What can I delegate to my staff? Who can I hire to take this off my hands so I can focus on being a business owner and not being the guy that runs around like a chicken with my head cut off?
Yeah.
I'm the, you know, I don't consider myself a CEO because I have three employees, but I'm the guy running the ship here.
Right.
And if I'm, I need to have my head straight and I need to be forward thinking and doing business development. So I read his book and, you know, I use AI quite a bit. And I came up with this big plan of how I was going to kind of fix my situation. So it was between selling the coffee shop. I hired my full-time employee, Eric, is my roaster. He's the packager, the fulfillment guy. He just got out of the Navy and needed a job. So it was like the best timing.
Shout out to Eric. That's awesome.
Eric is incredible. I can't speak highly enough about all of my employees. He is error margin of like 0%. The most he messes up is when I try to help him. When I get involved, things go downhill.
They go awry, right?
But he's just got it. He's motivated, a quiet guy, but I mean, he works hard and he's just smart and he just does it. And he's forward thinking. I don't have to remind him about everything. He's just on top of it. And one of the moves I made at the end of December, I hired Candace, and Candace is my operations administrator.
Okay.
So she's kind of like my assistant, but she just oversees a lot of the operations. So setting up fundraisers, handling my emails and phone calls and all the contact forms.
Social media?
Social media.
Okay.
Our social media presence has been...
Shout out to Candace, yeah.
Shout out to Candace. Our social media presence has been phenomenal. It's something we were okay with. I had Jessica. She was a barista back when we had the coffee shop, and then she graduated college and moved up in life, and you know, of course, this, you know, it's just how that goes. I'm proud of her, but we lost her, of course, and then I kind of dropped off on social media. But Candace is bringing it back. Our one video is at like 70,000 views.
Let's go! Holy cow!
So like, but our inbound leads this year have been insane. Yeah. Like, I cannot believe it's February now. But it just set the year up well. So I put the right people in the right places. Our third employee, Moses, does K cups and labeling, kind of the supportive job.
Okay,
but he comes in, he doesn't complain. What do you got for work? He does exactly what he's supposed to. Very good at his job.
Yeah.
So all three of them really run the business. I'm just kind of the guy.
Sounds like Moses is like he's the glue guy.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, whatever you need, keeps it all together. And the video you're talking about, is that the one where you're like arrested?
Oh, no, that one did well too.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guilt or guilty for, what is it? Caring about our customers or something.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And it showed all the 5-star reviews and such.
Well, that was a really good one, but that one's not the one I was thinking of. The ones where it's, if you ever see Judy's Pancakes, she's on TikTok and Instagram.
Yes.
It was a voiceover from one of her videos.
I have, okay.
But it's like, what do you do for a living? And it's like me saying I make pancake, but it's me holding out a bag of coffee. Well, anyway, that one's at like 70,000 views right now.
Let's go.
But Candace has been crushing it. She's been on top of it. My life is 99% easier than it was 6 months ago.
That's phenomenal.
And she's, could not have hired better people.
Yeah. And with a newborn, you know, I'm sorry. How old is...
He's 10 months now.
Okay. So I'm not far off, you know, I guess you could say still a baby, an infant. Yeah. You need to, like you said, kind of take some of that stress off. And it's finding the people that maybe are stronger in areas that you're weaker. You know what I mean? It's what are they more efficient at? So you can concentrate on the overall picture and developing the company.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, I could not grow this business and turn it into a well-tuned machine if I was all over the place and if I didn't have the headspace. So now I'm back in my routine. I'm waking up at 3:30. I hit the gym. I get home. I make my girlfriend Megan a latte. We get ready for the day. And then I'm at work by 8.
Yeah.
Going to work. I have a plan. I have an in and out checklist. It's just much more focused than it used to
You're
be.
You're locked
so
in.
Yeah. I feel like looking back from when we did the first podcast, I thought I knew what I was doing. I had no idea what I was doing. Now, 3 years from now, I'm going to look back and be like, you had no idea what you were doing.
What you were doing.
But I feel better about it. I have advantageous goals this year. We didn't mention it yet. I became the mayor of Cleona.
I thought I saw something about that.
So, yeah. So that I wasn't busy enough.
Yeah, you were busy enough. Right. You're the mayor of Cleona.
Yeah. So it was 4 years ago I thought about doing it, and it just kind of didn't work out that way. But I was like, I just want to do it. I love Cleona. It's where I grew up. It's where I live now. There were some things I wanted done in town, but it's really, I knew there needed to be younger people. And social media is such a valuable platform and a tool to communicate and be transparent. And it's not that anything bad was happening in Cleona. I just knew there was a lot I wanted to do, and I wanted to kind of turn up the gas and get some projects done, communicate better, and kind of set the standard for what governing should look like.
Yeah.
We all focus on the federal government, which I won't even give my thoughts on that. I think at this point, we're all thinking the same thing.
Yeah. A little fed up, right?
But at the local level, like, if you can't be transparent in a town that's 0.9 square miles, you can't do it anywhere. So I'm like, I know we can. So that was really my main goal. Throughout the election, I'm a libertarian. So I was at a disadvantage by one, being 27 years old, and two, being a third party. So I had a lot of obstacles going in front of me. But throughout the election, as time got closer to the election, I realized I felt pretty good about it. There's nothing to say against my opponent, but he's in his 70s, and I had the social media advantage to really campaign and get my name out there for little to no money. And that's exactly what happened.
What
so that momentum going into actually being the mayor now, it works out perfectly, you know, and being the person to communicate has its drawbacks. People, 95% of people love the communication. They love the transparency, but you get those 5% of people that now they can just complain to you easier. And I, you know, valid, you know, feedback, complaints. That's what I'm here for. I want to hear all of it.
Definitely.
But there's some people, it's just, I'm never going to win. You know, you can't please them all.
You can't. No, that's just in life. So what was it like when those final votes were tallied? Like, you're mayor of Cleona.
I couldn't believe it. It was, and I figured I would win. I didn't think it would be as big of a win that I did. So like I mentioned, I'm a third party. So I was like, I'm relying on Republicans and Democrats to vote for me, even though the person I was running against was a Republican, and this is a Republican area.
Yeah.
And yeah, I had about like 66% of the votes. So
whoa.
It was,
wow.
So it was not even, it was not close.
Yeah, it was not close. Wow.
So I was... Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Congrats. But that's awesome.
Thanks. So I've been doing it for about a month now, but that was another big personal accomplishment. And now,
thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Holy cow. So, like, what's next for Cleona Coffee Roasters? What's next for the mayor of Anvil? Like, sky's the limit.
Yeah, and it's really just, it's honestly the same, kind of the same mission. Just I have two ways of doing it now.
Okay.
Cleona Coffee Roasters last year, between fundraising and just giving money and checks, we've donated over $20,000. Frankly, my staff and out of donations, everyone makes more money on my business currently than I do. But that's okay because I know we're making an impact.
Yeah.
And that's really my goal to set the standard for getting my business involved in the community. I think a lot of businesses talk about being involved and caring about community, but then you don't really see anything of them. And it's not to talk bad about anyone, but I didn't want to be a business that just says it for the sake of saying it. I wanted to actually be about it. So really ramped up our fundraisers. We're really trying to get involved. We're helping who we can. And there's nothing wrong with being a single mission-focused business who strives to help this nonprofit, but there's so much need in the world. And this is where, as the business perspective, right? If it's a sports team or if it's, you know, nonprofit supporting veterans or whatever the case may be, or someone that's having personal medical problems and wants to fundraise to raise money, we help anyone.
Yeah.
So I like being that multifaceted business that just, if there's a need in the community, we're there to help. And likewise as the mayor, I'm there to speak up for everybody, right? We have a lot of elderly in Cleona. We have people that, I never really liked, kind of an authoritarian or authoritative type of approach with governing, like ordinances, and there's ordinances for everything.
Mm-hmm.
I want to treat people with respect, and I want them to see that the government can and should and does care about you, and we want to hear your problems, and I'm not going to give you a ticket. I'm going to see what we can do to help you. So kind of bringing that approach in and really using social media to uplift the local businesses in Cleona, and then using my business, we started the same business spotlight reels for all of our wholesale customers. So we're really trying to hit social media hard on both
let's
ends.
Let's go, Candace. Let's go.
So yeah, Candace is doing all the Cleona Coffee Roaster stuff. I'm the one stitching and doing all the reels for the mayor end of things.
Okay.
But together we're getting a lot of exposure for businesses, and it feels good on our end. I know we're helping people, and in turn, all of the spotlights we've done, they've all said they had increased customers from our videos. So
phenomenal.
We'll take it as a win.
That's what it's all about. Yeah, supporting each other, supporting local, shopping local. What would you say if someone's listening right now has a nerdy passion? Maybe they're obsessed with something, whether it be coffee or whatever it may be. What would you want them to hear?
I mean, you should absolutely pursue your dreams, and you should... it's okay to be passionate about something, and it's okay to change interests. It's okay to be authentically you, and that's something I kind of struggled with for a while, to be honest. It's okay to do something that other people aren't doing, because you'll be misunderstood. People haven't seen it done before.
Good point.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, and this is kind of straight out of a Dan Martell quote, but a lot of people have dreams. Everyone has dreams, but not everyone does something about it. And typically... the resistance and the reason we don't start is because it can be kind of confusing. There's no clarity behind it. So sometimes if you can just think it out, if you can dream vividly what you want it to look like, work back and get something on paper like, okay, I know the steps I need to take to get there. Just don't think about it. Just start doing it. And you'll be glad that you did. Not to say it's going to be easy, but you can reach those points where you can look back and say, wow, I really doubted myself, but I just trusted the process, and here I am. So if I didn't kind of follow an instinct and do what I enjoyed, my life wouldn't be anything like it is now. And there's a lot more in store in the future, things that I can dream of. And, you know, at this point, I'm a little hesitant to say it will happen, but I do have much more confidence in knowing that if I put my mind to it, it'll happen. Yeah. So
that's perfect. If you're good, I'm going to wrap it up, unless there's anything else you'd like the listeners to know.
I think that was pretty much it.
Check the show notes for links to Cleona Coffee Roasters. If Matt's story inspired you, share this episode with everyone you know, leave a review, and subscribe to American Grown Podcast for more incredible stories from the heart of our community. Matt, thanks again for being here. Thanks again for coming back, being another guest. Thank you for supporting the podcast, for being a sponsor. Again, for all the listeners, Cleona Coffee Roasters, check them out. Stop in, 911 Rapid Response. You have nothing to lose. You can only gain. And again, I just appreciate you being here and sharing your story.
Yeah, thanks again. This was great.
Awesome. Cheers. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Hostler Engraving is your local source for unique, quality-driven laser-engraved gifts for all occasions. Place an order today by visiting our Facebook page at Hostler Engraving. You won't be disappointed.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds. Haynes Auto Detailing, run by owner Josh Haynes, offers a professional service that is sure to have your vehicle shining from wheel to wheel. My wife and I both trust Josh with our personal vehicles, and believe me, with two kids, the back seats tend to look like a hot mess. But after a trip to Haynes Auto Detailing, the vehicles look better than brand new, both inside and out. Message Haynes Auto Detailing on Facebook or call 717 679-3673 to get your vehicle looking right today.